muzzle leaders. Even though it's unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful, but hey, when you're dealing with lawless criminals, who cares? Even though, according to the propaganda machine, i.e. the mainstream media, 70% of Californians are fully injected. 7 out of 10 eligible Californians are fully injected. So it doesn't matter. I know I brought this up last week. So the edict is supposed to be in effect from the 15th of December until at least January the 15th. So the other day, somebody sent me a video from somebody from over in Ireland. And I forgot the name of the site, but he was saying that this is the first time ever the ineffectiveness of a medical product has been blamed on people who haven't taken it. Over the last 2 years, we've had all these things shoved down our throats, all this nonsense, like, quote, social distancing, close quote, that is so incredibly oxymoronic and Orwellian. The other thing is asymptomatic spreader. Well, I guess I owe Charles Darwin an apology. Evolution is correct because last year a whole new organism came into being, the said asymptomatic spreader. Hitherto, people without symptoms were called healthy. Now, I just wanted to okay, before I talk about the charity here in the Golden State, you're talking about Christmas because December the 25th is coming up this Saturday. Well, did you know that Christmas was officially illegal in the United States until the year 1820? As a matter of fact, I forgot the dates, but the Puritans actually outlawed Christmas in England and in their colonies. But it was thanks... A couple things happened in America. You had starting after the year 1820, you had a massive influx of Catholic immigrants coming in from Europe, places like Italy, later on Ireland, and so forth. And part of the effort to get people to embrace Christmas, at least in historically Protestant America, was Charles Dickens in his work specifically A Christmas Carol. Did you know that there actually have been over 100 adaptations of that work? I know there have been several films with George C. Scott, Albert Finney, Alistair Sim, and so forth. So what that does, and of course you have Scrooge, which is a variation of it. But so what that does is that it panders to people's emotions. People have a visceral response. Well, you know, maybe I know Christmas is scripturally, historically untenable, but it feels good. I like seeing the tree. I like exchanging presents. I like telling the kids about stories about Santa Claus and all that sort of stuff. But it's all emotion. It's all feeling. It has. So that's how propaganda and mind control and mental manipulation work. Now, speaking of which, I'm not sure if you caught this, but several people have sent me stories about, a decision the the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, Ohio, they said that Biden's edicts or vaccine edicts are now can proceed. So, that's on the national level. Now, one of the major players here is Pfizer. They're one of the main manufacturers of this injection, and I should have figured this out sooner, but it's interesting, if you look at who's on the board of directors for Pfizer, one of them is a fellow by the name of J.D. Johnson. He got his law degree from Georgetown University. One of the other members of the board of directors is Frank DeMello. He got his undergrad from St. Peter's University in New Jersey. A third is Peter Carapezzi. He got his undergrad degree from Fairfield University in Connecticut. So, the Jesuits, for all intents and purposes, the Jesuits run Pfizer.
Wow, thanks for sharing that with us, George. I mean, you covered an awful lot of ground in 4 minutes. I think there's no way I could have covered that much in 4 minutes. I'm glad you gave us a history of Christ Mass and the fact that the Puritans had outlawed it. That is absolutely correct. And, you know, it's amazing about the Christmas Carol and over the years, how many people have made a big deal out of Scrooge and watched that. Like you nailed it. They just absolutely play on our emotions. You know, that's what it is. You know, it's like the feel, felt, found. You know, I know how you feel. I felt the same way, and here's what I found, you know. But anyway, I appreciate you sharing that with us. And also, George, yeah, we had alluded before you came on that ruling by the federal court is going to affect Tom and not only Tom's current employment situation, but also his two sons. So there's effectively three different careers that are going to be, or their incomes that are going to be affected by that ruling if it moves forward. So.
Well, you know, something I've said before, you cannot put your trust in chariots. I forgot the scriptural verse for that. So you cannot put your faith in a court. Your state Supreme Court, well, here in the United States or the equivalent in Canada or where it is you happen to be living, because they run, the whore runs all the courts, whether you're talking about the U.S., Canada, Australia, Europe, wherever. Because most of these judges, if they're not Catholic educated, Jesuitically educated, they're Freemasons or something like that. So this could very well, here in America, could be sent to the U.S. Supreme Court. But something we've discussed before, what is the composition of that body? Well, at least 6 of the 9 members are Roman Catholics. So just for the record, you're talking about John here in America, John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, Sonia Sotomayor, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Now, the other now you have Neil Gorsuch, who technically speaking is Protestant-ish. He's an Episcopalian, but he grew up Roman Catholic, and he went to Georgetown Preparatory School. And you have a couple of Jewish judges. You have Stephen Breyer, and you have Kagan? Helen Kagan. As I said, they're both Jewish, but both of them have received something called the Louis Stein Prize, which is given out by the Fordham University. And all of the so-called liberal judges, Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor, are members of something called the Constitution Society, which is was founded by a fellow by the name of Peter Rubin. Even though he's Jewish, he got his undergrad degree from Georgetown University. Now, the other so-called conservative judges are part of the Federal Society, which was founded by Leo Leonard, who is a devout Roman Catholic and is a Knight of Malta. So, the U.S. Supreme Court exemplifies the Hegelian dialectic. They control both sides.
Oh, absolutely. And just about 3 verses that allude to what you were saying earlier. Psalm 118:9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. 118:8, it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then, of course, Psalm 146:3, put not trust in princes nor in the son of man in whom there's no help. And there's many others, but you're absolutely right. Many people are putting their faith and their confidence in a political system that's utterly corrupt. Walt and I were talking yesterday about the fact that there's no political system, Department of Justice, FBI, CIA, NSA, is utterly corrupted, and so how could we ever put our trust in the judicial system that is sold out? So, Tom, you put up a scripture, and Tom, just so you know, when you put up a scripture, it just it just flashes on the screen. We can't read it. It doesn't stay up. Could you possibly read? I think it was in Psalms, but I don't know if you still have it there or not.
I do, and on my I have the Skype app, and okay. So I have a chat section open, so I didn't realize that it just goes away.
Yeah.
I actually put up to one is, and this is, these were in reference to what Adeola was sharing earlier in agreement with it. It's Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And then Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, again, I want to thank George for giving us a history. You know, George is a historical history student, a student of history, and I really value that, him sharing with us these different historical perspectives that he gives us. Walt, you were mentioning a couple, 3 days ago, whenever we were talking, you were mentioning how that you're just amazed at how so many people are totally ignorant of even what George has talked about this morning, the history of not only the United States, but, you know, how long the Jesuits have been instrumental in bringing about deception. And since you've done this book, The Vatican Jesuit Global Conspiracy, hopefully it will, you know, I'm trying to promote the book as best I can because there's two books, and there's so much information in here. It's overwhelming, actually. Why are people so overwhelmed, and why are they unwilling to even look at certain historical facts?
Well, the first thing is sin. But you know, you could describe the Jesuits very simply. They control academia. They control academia, and if we went down to a local school, you know, history is not being taught. I mean, it's the real founding of America and who was behind it. You know, the control of academia, and I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at myself, just how, you know, at one time I prayed for the truth. I mean, it's not soothing. I mean, in other words, the truth of it is, you know, it's the Reformation gave us a little bit of a light, and from the Council of Trent, we've had a little bit of light, and the Council of Trent is to stamp all the light out. You know, and you know, I think as I listen to what's going on, it's shocking what's going on. You know, I think it came down to this. There's only one truth, you know. Because everything, all academia, all the sciences, you know, everything has been captured. I like global warming, you know, in all the and we have only one place to turn to right now. It's not to Joe Biden. it's you know I keep going back to this. You know, here's this little group of right here that's meeting this morning. You know, and I think it's just the way it's just the way Satan operates and plays. But and could you repeat that verse, Larry, that about the elect? If it wasn't, you know, even the elect, how does that verse go? Even could be deceived.
Right. If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. And you got people out there saying even the elect will be deceived. But it's impossible for the elect to be deceived. You know, it brought, when we were talking, when George and when you were talking, Walt, came to my mind, Adeola. I was talking to Adeola one time, and I asked Adeola, other than the Bible, you know, what single most important thing has had an impact on you? And you know what Adeola told me? He said, you've got to get the history of the Jesuits, by Nicolini. And you know what? He sent me a PDF file on the history of the Jesuits, their origin, doctrines, and designs. And Adeola, why don't you just, you know, in summary, I know you've done it before, but I think it would be good right at this juncture. Why don't you just explain to us why that book was so important to you?
The reason why that book was so important is it gives you basically how evil they are. It gives you a play-by-play on the origin of the designs and how they were meant to supplant this Reformation. How they term any means necessary to understand their order, how they're set up, to understand their oath, understand how basically demonic they are at the core, their organization, it's one of these books where that is the basic, to truly understand or begin to understand the nature of evil through God's word, the light of God's word, and to see how the devil thinks and what the devil does, you have to understand the order.
And that book is like, what, 618 pages? It's not... It's not a light read. I mean, you have to
read, but by the time you're done, and fortunately, when Tom Fred read that book, and I was reading at the same time, and I went back over time with Euler, but by the time he was done, blew me away. I said, wow, when evil truly exists, this absolutely how truly evil that organization is under the devil. Death in the light of God's in the light of the Jesus in God's word. I'm not equating the two, but when God tells you there's evil in the world and you read that book, you'll clearly understand it. It's one of these books where until literally one reads that book, it's easy to see everything it stays like. I had that book a number of years ago, but I didn't fully understand until I started reading it. And I said, that literally explains the reductions. That literally explains why Christianity has a hard time in the Middle East. In China, India, it literally explains it. It literally explains how the Jesuits have unlimited funds. If you want to see, they got practice of communism in Paraguay. That's what he literally got their practice.
Well, I'll tell you, Adeola, what happened to me. I started reading through the book, and I'll be honest with you. I was absolutely overwhelmed.
Yeah, it is.
What I mean by that is I found myself wanting to deny what was written in the book. I found myself trying to figure out all the reasons why it couldn't be true. And, you know, obviously, you can't deny truth when it's staring you in the face.
Yeah, you can't. And I had a hard time with that. Like, the best way to describe that book, you ever watched the movie Star Wars? You seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and you see Darth Sidious and the clone troopers and everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the best way to describe it, because you can't comprehend that kind of people until I had to put in those terms. Like, holy, this guy reminds me of this guy. Like, just in a movie term, because you're almost watching a movie, but yet it's actual reality. And the movie starts, I mean, it was like literally watching a movie. I said, it can't be this, it really can't be this true. But yet the more you look into it, it says it just answers a lot of questions where, why is Christianity has such a hard time in this area? But seriously, why? It explained it right there. Why Paraguay? Why they have done this stuff? I mean, I have to reread it again sometimes just to remind myself. Like, go through it. And that's why when we went through the thing, when we went through it with, what's his name there? Our favorite attorney in the government there.
Yeah, Edward Henry.
Yeah, Edward Henry. When we read that, because when we read that book, and I almost took the Kool-Aid, and when I told Walt, I said, Walt, sorry, but I just can't get past his bio and his training. I can't get past it.
Also, when I said it, you know.
Thank you.
They overcome education. They control education. They write the books. You know, and the end thing is that I say to myself, this, you know,
you have this ball.
Why is it? I see the direct hand of God that's opened our eyes. You know, it opened our eyes. We've already brought up the fact this morning about Christmas and who's behind Christmas. You know, what's happened, especially in the world, even especially in America, they've replaced the history and taken the eye off of Babylon, you know, and the bottom line is we can be very thankful that we understand what's going on. And of course, I live in a little town on the Oregon coast. And you know, I don't think it's no different for everybody on this call. And because continuously, like George, he brings us back to who's controlling, who controls the education, see? And here, and it's right in front of us. And for me to even say this, it's right in front of us, the most prestigious colleges in this country. And just Larry has shared this experience with a when he was growing up, a friend of his, you know, in a church, Larry knew him, met him through a church in his name, and he ended up sending his children to a Jesuit school. And you know, we're living in a time. The closer you get to the truth, the more that you realize if God hadn't opened our eyes, I mean, there's no sense blaming a certain group and the fact that we're going to turn this around. We're not going to turn this around. This isn't, you know, there's only one that's going to turn this around, in the hand of God. It's just like those two books that we published there on Lulu. I mean, those books are, you know, I don't, sometimes I like to say that isn't the truth, but that's exactly, we are living in, you know, the world is, this whole pandemic is nothing but idolatry, false science.
Well, false guys,
so-called. Go ahead.
It's Aaron when you go, but you guys have an excellent day.
All right. Have a good one. Have a good week.
Yeah.
You know, if we,
if
we go back to what we just read or heard in Luke 2, you know, here Christ is 12 years old. He's 12 years old. And what did he see was a priority that he addressed at 12 years old? You know, it says that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. That's what Jesus Christ was doing at 12 years old. And who were these doctors? These are the same people that we're talking about here. Usurpers. People who were absent of the grace of God. People who were trying to bring everybody under the law. That's exactly what we're experiencing today, and that's what Christ was addressing it when he was 12 years old.
Yes, and nothing's changed except there's more people now and you know, as it looks to me, you know, the world and also God, Christ says it'll be like the days of Noah. Boy, that is it. In other words, you know, I'm not trying to elevate this little group that we got together this morning. I'm not trying to elevate, but you know, to find the fellowship, what's really going on, it is like the days of Noah. There's only eight got on the boat. Anyway, I love you guys. And there's only one thing to hang on to right now. There's only one thing. Everything else is about the world. I see the world so much now in our entertainment. You know, the fact that, giving an example, when I was out driving truck in Disneyland too, you know, Disneyland is captured the I mean, praise God that we stand fast in God's creation instead of man's creation.
Yeah, I was sharing with Walt about, Walt talked about how many times, you know, people go to Disneyland, and we even took Mark to Disney World when he was young in Florida. My dad's sister, his only sister, she's 93 now, she's still living. A number of years ago, she was taking care of her nephew, who had come from a problem home and broken home and was a mess. And she was trying to get him help, and she contacted one of the largest churches in Kansas City. The guy is, I think, gone now. His name is Dr. Westlake, George Westlake. And it was a huge congregation. And she called the church and asked if they had someone that could help this young boy. And they said, bring him down. We've got counselors, blah, blah, blah. So Wanda took him down to this church. And she said, Larry, I was just overwhelmed. I could not believe here Dr. George Westlake's office. In his office, it was full of Disney characters. She said it had all of the Disney characters in there. Like, his whole office was like walking into Walt Disney. Like Mickey Mouse, all of them, you know. And she said, what would prompt a man who's a minister of the gospel, who's traveled all over the world, to make his office the office of Disney? So, well, you know, when you brought up Disney today, I thought of that, and I was thinking about, you know, that's really our whole society. It's built on fantasy. It's not built on reality. There's no foundation. It's all based upon mystical characters, whether you want to talk about Harry Potter or C.S. Lewis or, you know, Napoleon, it doesn't matter. Norman Vincent Peale, you know, Robert Schuller, Joe Osteen, the spiritual advisor to Donald Trump, Paula White. I remember I had lunch with a guy one time who had started a bunch of Christian schools, and we were talking. I didn't know him that well. And I said, well, who do you think is the most biblically sound person right now in our contemporary society? He's gone on. He's dead now. Anyway, he said to me, oh, that's easy. My favorite theologian, okay, is Joyce Meyer. I mean, I wanted to get up from the lunch and leave. I looked at him. I said, are you trying to push my button? Are you kidding me? But that's where our society is. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. I've pretty much said everything I want to say. I'll let someone else bring the concluding remarks today.
Well, I'll say something real quick. I hope you guys all have a good week. And today was a good day. And please, Larry, let Rosette know that Tori's looking forward to her phone call on Wednesday.
Rosette always looks forward to that, and she's looking forward to it as well. You all have a good week, and I'm going to pray that the good Lord will open doors, Tori, so that you won't be resigned to an RV. Okay?
Well, Larry, George, you know, thanks for being here this morning. Praise God. thank God that what God has given us, and that we may, hold on to the rock, you know. I love you guys.
We love you too. Yeah. And George, George, I want to encourage you to continue in your zealous exposition of what's going on right now. I really enjoy your opening up and sharing your thoughts. And Walt, you know that we love you very much. And so you guys have a great afternoon and a great week.
Yes. I'm in Oregon, the land of the ducks. That's it's raining pretty good here. What's it doing down there in California, George? You know, your mic's muted. He might not be there. Yeah, well, we'll see you. You see you, Larry. we'll see you guys. What kind of weather you got? You gonna go for a ride today?
Yeah, we're gonna go take you out here in a little bit. We already took an early morning ride this morning. Went out and had breakfast, but it's really nice here today. It's probably about, I would say middle 40s, but the sun's shining and it's a nice day for the 19th. By the way, today would have been today is my mother's birthday. If she'd still been living, she would have been 91 today. So today is her birthday. Anyway, thank you, Walt, and you're in our prayers and feel free to call anytime.
Yeah, and you the same, Larry.
All right.
You know, I feel the heaviness, you know. This is kind of the way it's touched me, and I think it's touched everybody, especially on this call. You know, that all the little trivial things that, you know, that people bicker about and argue about it, and you know, it's not important anymore.
I agree.
It's not important.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I think, you know, I've been guilty of it in the past.
Make
a mountain out of a molehill, you know.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Yep. Because what we're facing right now, you know, as I listened to the first part of this broadcast, what's going on in Austria and what's going on. I mean, it's in the things that Adeola commented of what's going on, and the fact that I haven't been, but you know, this year I might have. It would be a little refuge to be able to go and to sit down and have a meal with, you know, the senior citizen group here. You know, they always have a dinners. They sponsor dinners.
Yeah.
But now you have to have a vaccine to enter the building.
Wow.
Yeah, yep. I'd like to, and I'm thankful that how's that old saying go? But the trailer doesn't leak. The trailer doesn't leak. It was just really raining this morning, really raining hard. You know, of course, we've they're calling drought. You know, they're calling drought. And of course, you know, we have some watersheds that have, but in other words, they always like to preach doom.
Right.
You know, in,
fear mongering.
Fear mongering. They always, you know, and like the one morning I went out to the gate and my landlord was there, you know, and I said, isn't it something that the earth is 70% water and we're short of water with a drought? And we're not short of water. Yes, the reservoirs are down and stuff, you know, but life goes on.
Right, right.
I mean, nobody's short of drinking water. You know, I mean, it's amazing. I don't want to, but we're 70% water, and we have a water shortage. you know. But anyway, Larry, say hi to Mark and Rosette. I love you guys. And you guys have a good one. And praise God.
All right. Well, listen, have a good afternoon, and we'll talk with you soon.
Oh, good, Larry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
I don't want rice anymore, though. I'm not into rice.
Okay. Salt and pepper on my food?
Yeah, salt and pepper.
I also put stevia and honey on there, too, for pancake syrup.
I can put
stevia. Stevia, salt, pepper, and butter on mine. Also, pancake syrup.
No,
mushroom on mine, too.
No,
mushroom, pepper, mushroom on mine.
Okay.
Mushroom on mine, too.
That turned out pretty good.